time now for this week's tip of the week. And we're going to move on into part two of what we started last week, the look at vital signs. Now, last week, I talked a little bit about the specific individual vital signs, normal ranges for adults. This week, I'm going to be talking a little bit about why we are using vital signs. And for some of you, you're going to be scratching your head going, what's he going into this for? Well, I think it's important for us to remember that vital signs do not live in a vacuum. A single set of vital signs, as I tell students that I instruct on these types of things, a single set of vital signs does not a stable patient make. And it's important for us to keep in mind that it is the overall trending of those vital signs that is going to lead us to look for other solutions for our patients when we're seeing a trend in a direction we're not pleased with. Vital signs include, we did this last week, but we'll cover it again, pulse, respirations, blood pressure, temperature, pain rating, and in some cases, pulse ox. Pulse ox is what I leave for last because it's not used uniformly in every situation. It may only be brought out for respiratory patients, and that would be in lieu of something like arterial blood gases, but it is something to keep in mind. So the big five, I guess, are pulse, respirations, blood pressure, temperature, and pain. Pain is something relatively new to the marketplace, at least for some people. Pain is something we should be checking every time we check the other vital signs. And it is something that should be trended as well because it will give you an idea of the pain management situation for a given patient. If you can look back and see that they are likely to need more pain medication in a given time frame, you may be prepared and want to make a point to stop in and see a patient around a certain time of day to assess their pain. And so these are the kind of things that trending gives you. Trending gives you a way to chart the patient. And in many hospital settings that I've seen, most hospital charts will give you the ability to view that trend on a graph. Or if you can't, you can at least look at the vital signs right next to each other and see that trending process. One of the things that we also can use vital signs trending for is to look at the effects of given medications, and not just pain medications, but cardiac medications. If a patient is given a dose of beta blockers and they have recently not been on beta blockers, you would expect to see a decrease in the pulse and the blood pressure in response to those medications. And the same thing is true for other similar medications. Patients that are on a wide, broad-spectrum antibiotic by IV, we would expect after a certain period of time that their temperature would decrease if the medication was having the desired effect. So these things are all part of what we're looking at when we trend. Now, vital signs also has other purposes. It'll identify an acute medical issue. If something has cropped up suddenly, if you have a patient that has a sudden drop in blood pressure and is post-surgical, you could expect that that patient may indeed have developed an internal bleed of some kind. Same thing is true for other signs of shock. So this is also used to identify the onset of an acute issue and not for necessarily for long-term trending. And that would be the single instance where you would expect a single set of vital signs to give you any meaningful information. Also, vital signs are a way of understanding the magnitude of a problem and also how well the body is dealing with any kind of stressors that are going on. In other words, healing from a post-surgical situation or a patient that's in a trauma situation or any other shock situation where the body is compensating in some way to maintain homeostasis, we would want to see a gradual return to the patient's normal baselines and whatever those normal baselines might be. And if we see a trend in an opposite direction, then clearly they're not physiologically dealing very well with that problem. And of course, they're also a good way to trend over a longer term patients with problems like hypertension, patients with other chronic issues that extended look at respirations over time will give you an idea that they are generally trending upward. We see this a lot, especially for those nurses that are involved in things like parish nursing programs or other community nursing programs where they're regularly taking blood pressures for their patients. You can look at a patient's card in a situation where you're taking their vital signs, taking their blood pressure and pulse every, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in church or something. You can look at that card and you may see that there is a general trend upward. And in that case, that patient can be advised to return to their physician with the information that their blood pressure is trending upward and that they may need to adjust hypertension medications or start hypertension medications. So when vital signs are taken and you are interacting with the patient, what else can be going on? Well, when you're taking vital signs with your patients, especially, and this is good advice for students who haven't yet developed a good routine, is this is a perfect time to meet your patient. It's a perfect time to ask other health-related questions. Perhaps you're concerned about a new medication that's been started. You'll want to follow up on any side effects that you may be looking for. So again, while you're taking your vital signs and you're in the room, it's a good time to interact with your patients and build rapport. Also, when you're in there, you can also do a basic quick head-to-toe assessment of your patient. How's their color? You know, you can check basic things like capillary refill. Are they getting good perfusion to their extremities? Obviously, a good peripheral pulse and blood pressure would indicate this, but you may notice problems with individual extremities with certain types of issues like blood clots where they're showing signs of edema or showing signs of poorer perfusion on one side compared to the other. That would be an indication. And these are things that can happen very quickly and easily during the process of getting vital signs. I also want to urge you to remember that you got that thing around your neck for a reason. It is a stethoscope, and you should be using your stethoscope for some basic auscultation of the patient while the automatic blood pressure machine is running. And that seems to be more and more the standard in most facilities. So the ability to take a manual blood pressure is not necessarily something that you need to use on a regular basis. So you have the stethoscope there. Go ahead and have the patient get their blood pressure while you listen to apical heart rate and compare it to what you're seeing on the monitor. You can do things like check the patient for good breath sounds all the way to the bases. These are all things that can happen during the vital signs period and are assessments that need to occur, but certainly don't have to take up extra time if you get into a good routine. And so that's kind of, you know, you have an excuse to go in and take vital signs anyway. That's something that's very important. The other side of this is how often or how frequently should vital signs be taken? Most facilities will have guidelines that they've already laid in place for patients, but I would urge you to understand that these are minimum guidelines in most cases. So if you have a patient that's post-surgical and you're supposed to be taking their blood pressure every 15 minutes for the first hour and then every half hour for the next 2 hours and then every hour or whatever, however your system does it for the 8 to 12 hours following surgery, this is a situation where you need to understand these are minimums. If a patient is set up for Q15 minute blood pressure checks, but you seem to be getting wonky readings, and you know, there's a medical term for you, wonky readings, but you know what I mean. You're getting something that seems out of the ordinary. You have a couple of alternatives. Use a different machine to verify, take a manual blood pressure to verify, or increase the frequency up to 10 minutes or even 5 minutes to get a better understanding of how this is trending over the short term. And then if it seems like it's leveled off or if it was just an unusual reading, remember the patient may have moved or something like that, you can go ahead and set it back to whatever the normal procedural flow is for your facility. But that starts with you understanding and utilizing taking care of these patients and understanding that vital signs really, you know, fall into the realm of nursing care. We need to be understanding what problems our patients are having and then understand how frequently we need to reassess the patient based on those problems. No matter what our minimum levels may be, we may need to reassess more frequently. This is not something you have to do yourself. Frequently, in most hospitals, the vital signs process is delegated to unlicensed personnel, nursing assistants, or techs on the floor. And that's certainly not a problem, I don't think. But when you have an anomalous reading come up, and those people should be finding you and letting you know that the blood pressures and the vitals and everything else are done for that patient for that time frame, they should be checking in with you to let you just take a glance at them. Because ultimately, it falls in your lap if there needs to be a situation where they need to be medicated per orders, or perhaps they need to have a consult called in based on a change in their condition. Either case, you need to first reassess and make sure that that vital sign was taken properly. So, and when you get an anomalous reading, the first thing you do is go in and assess the patient for yourself if this was a reading taken by someone else. So that's a look at vital signs slash part two, I guess you could call it. We are going to be following up with more of these basic review items, as I find that we have about half the listeners to the show are indeed students, and I want to make sure that there are additional resources here for all of you as well. Plus, it doesn't hurt any of us to think about these things again and revisit them and revisit the way we handle them. And if you do something different, if you decide that something I said here is completely off the wall wacko, well, then let me know. You can get in touch with me here at comments@nursingshow.com. Let me know what your facility is doing. Let me know how nurses are dealing with taking vital signs in the facility in which you work. How is that delegated and how is that process handled? We all need to share this information to figure out exactly how the process might work if we need to institute some form of change. I would also urge you to head over and check out the link in the show notes to allnurses.com. They are our forum partners. If you want to check in there, I have a link to their section on vital signs, and you can check out what some other people are saying about vital signs and leave your own information there as well. Allnurses.com is just a huge resource, and there are thousands of nurses on there every single hour of every single day, so you can almost always get an answer or a comment on something you've posted there pretty darn quickly.